Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's stand together this afternoon. What a beautiful song there, sisters. Appreciate that. Thank the Lord. If you have your Bibles, let's get into the Word today. Let's turn to John chapter 14. Appreciate the Lord today. Amen. Appreciate His presence being here with us. Doing what no man can do. That's right. He's never failed me yet. Amen. And He won't. I don't plan on it. Amen. When y'all stand and praise the Lord in respect to God's Word. Let's read John 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'd like to take for a thought, and I hopefully can explain it a little bit here in a minute. His way is still Jesus. His way is still Jesus. Let's bow our heads together before Him. And as we approach the Word, is there a need you'd like to lift up with your hand? Say, Lord, you know what's in my heart, and I just lift it to you. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to be in your house again, for having the grace that's been bestowed in our hearts to want to serve you, Lord. How happy we are that we even thirst for righteousness, Lord. We're so blessed to have a desire to worship the one true living God, knowing that by grace you put that in us, Lord, and we thank you for it today. We thank you for leading us all to the house of God, and we ask, Lord, that you'll feed our souls with from heaven with word that'll make us more like you, Lord, and push all the things of the world further away than they've ever been before. Let us always look our eyes towards you, ready to go at any moment, knowing that you promised to come take us soon and very soon. Commit this service into your hands, Lord. I don't know what the people need to hear, but I know that you do. So, Lord, we surrender ourselves to you. May you speak to us, Lord. May you heal all of our sicknesses and all of our backslidings and make us the Christians we ought to be. We come expecting, Lord. You know the hearts, Lord. Fill every soul, we pray. Commit this service into your hands. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. You may be seated this afternoon. But you don't have to stay seated. I know in too many churches it's kind of a rule, you know. I was actually talking to a brother here recently. We're getting a little too much following man. Let me say it. It's just, you know, I can't stand till the preacher tells me stand. And I can't sit till the preacher tells me sit. And I can't say amen till he says, can I get an amen? Then maybe I'll get real inspired, but we're just following men too much. I appreciate a brother one time. He showed that. He said, all right, let's all stand. Everybody got up. He said, all right, sit down. All right, let's stand. Okay, let's sit down. He said, what's the point? Why you listen to me so easy but think so hard when God tells you something? That's right. It's good. We just programmed. We're just too natural sometimes. We got to learn. What I'm preaching on today, what really got me, I mean, I was feeling the go this way. I'm losing this now. I'm sorry. But it's just, I'm already warm. This shirt, I don't know if I should preach this one anymore. That's probably the color it is, but that's all right. Praise the Lord, sir. Some of y'all caught that, but that's all right. I've been praying, you know, and I think we all do the same. Like, Lord, I really want to be a witness for you. You know, I really want you to, you know, I appreciate what you've done in my life, but I know how glorious it is, and I want to do all that's in my power to be able to give this to someone else. And sometimes I don't think we really know what we're praying for. Because we think, well, if I was really witnessing good, you know, everybody loved me, we'd all be friends. I wouldn't have to do any adversaries or have to go through any hurdles. It'd just be glorious. You know, I'd just sit there and just like Naaman asked, you know, I'd just come and strike my hands together and the glory of God would shine all over. And they said, oh, of course we believe you. And everybody, I'd bring it in the sheaves, you know, just bring it all souls in. Well, I've learned in a short period of time here that it just don't work that way. It doesn't, you know. If we're going to go based on judging a ministry on that regard, that goes for any of us. You got the wrong line. The word is what we're talking about. If we're going to judge Jesus on that line, man, my goodness, he had one of the most least successful ministries ever hit the earth. By the time he got to the cross, I mean, John was barely following him from a distance. Peter done denied him. Everybody else was gone. Jews betraying him. The 70 already left. Who was left? Well, man, Jesus, what kind of ministry was this? Hallelujah. Goes to show you can't judge with man's wisdom. You got to judge with God's revelation. Amen. But the most glorious thing that ever hit the earth was happening. The Son of God was giving his life so that we could be saved. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, it was the second period here a few days ago. I don't even know how it got started, but guy asking questions. And I'll tell you what, I was trying to talk about things of God. I got a kid who's from Lebanon originally. And of course, you know, he's just asking questions because he doesn't know a thing about Christianity. He's never been taught any of that. So he's asking me this. I got this nominal kid sitting here who likes to wear shirts with naked women on it. And it's not exactly naked, but close enough. You understand? For some reason, school don't care. I seem to be the only one. I tell him, you walk like this in my room. I tell him that. I do. You go ask him. I said, no, a little lower. You got to cover that up and then hold it like this. If not, you're going to leave. That's right. School won't do nothing about it, but hey, at least I can control my little room. But anyways, he's nominal. He's asking me some questions. Then I got over here some guy who starts to ask questions like he's just total unbeliever. And then he said, well, my grandma's Jehovah's Witness, and I kind of feel like she knows some things. And I'm like, oh, great, here we go. I got to deal with that too. And then to top it all off, here's a girl over here who's a lesbian who hates God and says there's nothing to it. And I'm trying to witness in this. And you know what I begin to realize? What's everybody's problem? They like the word's results. When they die, they want somebody to come raise them from the dead. When things fall apart, they want someone to show up and pay the bills. They want somebody to get them healed. They want somebody to make them have peace and love and joy. They want all these things. What don't they want? The way God does it. That's what I begin to realize here. I'm already spitting on myself. What's going on? Goodness. No, I couldn't even see it. I saw this big thing right here, Brother Ronnie, right in the middle of my glasses. I'm like, I got to wipe that off. They don't like, that's why Jesus, when he was asked this question, he says first, I am the way. And I'm the truth, and I'm the life. But the way I do it is who I am. You don't get to choose that. Hallelujah. Because one of the first revelations you need is that he don't change. He's not learning. He's not getting better at being God. He's really good at it. Amen. He's never learned a thing. He just was. Hallelujah. And that was one of the topics of discussion. They're saying, well, can you explain where God came from? I said, no. And they're like, well, why are you trying to get us to believe in something? You can't even explain where it came from. That's the point. It didn't come from nowhere. It was. And then they get all, well, that don't make any sense. Well, I'll say, well, where did this earth come from? Well, it came from this. Where'd that come from? Where'd that come from? So you got the same problem I do. You can't explain the origin of anything. And you can't explain the end of anything. And you can't explain what the present means. You can't explain what the past was. You can't explain what the... You know what we begin to realize? We're pretty dumb. We really don't have a clue. We don't know what we're doing. We don't know where we came from. We don't know where we're going. I'm talking about the man outside the word now. He don't have a clue. But God does. And he's not learning. That's why first thing is that God don't change. He's got it. He did it right. He knows what he's doing. He ain't messing up. He ain't learning anything. He don't need plan B. Plan A's good. Amen. He says in Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord and I change not. Amen. Coming out of the Church Age book, Brother Branham says this. Let me show you another reason why Satan hates this book of Revelation of Jesus Christ in the church. He knows that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever, and he changes not. He knows that a whole lot more than 90% of the theologians. He knows that since God is immutable in his nature, then he is just as immutable in his ways. Hallelujah. Thus, Satan knows assuredly. I wish I'd get people to believe this assuredly, that the original church at Pentecost with the power of God, Mark 16 in action, is the true church that Jesus claims as his own. All else is false. It has to be. Brother, sister, we've got too far away from the power of God in the message too many times. We've began to, as we preached here recently, we've changed revelation into information and wonder why we're getting nowhere. Because God didn't build his church on information. He built it on the revelation of himself. And when you begin to see who God is, that God is not a puny little wimp in a corner. He is the Creator. He is the King of Kings. And as the Bible said, he is a man of war. But people think that they really know how to fight. It reminds me of a good old bully, isn't that right? He thinks he's tough because he pushes some little kid around. But you get him in a real fight one time, he's over. He can't take a punch. He's got a glass chin and it's done. You catch that yet? You want... And that's a lot of people's experiences. Oh, here comes just one trial. But as long as you don't get hit at all, you're doing good. You can throw a punch, but you sure can't take one. Hallelujah. That's what separated Jesus so much from everyone else. Oh, he can give you punches. Don't let me kid you. When you come, and not physically now, but, you know, I just leave that alone. But he said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you bunch of hypocrites. You do this, this, and that, and the other thing. And they go raising on him. He just, you know. Take it. You know, it's all right. Spit in his face, hawk on him, punch him. He didn't fight back. Why? He knew who he was. In his way, he knew the word said he had to be the lamb. He couldn't be the wolf. And he couldn't be the lion yet. That was a different dispensation. Amen. The true church at Pentecost is the true church. All else is false. When I began to talk to these students more and more, I began to realize they just don't like the way God did it. And I began to ask them things like this sort. Do you want your free choice? Because this one kid's saying, well, everything good happens from God and everything bad happens to the devil. Well, I said, well, in a way, sure. He said, well, then the devil's winning. Well, in a way, you're right. But again, with this conglomeration of people, I don't even know how to really answer this to where they're not going to misinterpret me and run off on some telling me that Jesus can't win this thing. Or that he isn't winning. Or that he's getting caught off guard and the devil's getting it going. No, Jesus knew this would happen. Here's what's really happened. I try to explain this, and of course they don't like this. Man, it was given a choice. And I've got them all to say, you want your choice, don't you? Or do you want somebody to come tell you have to do this, you don't do this, and you must be like this? And actually, I'm going to pre-program your brain to where you can't even make a choice, that you're only going to do what I say. Is that what you want to be? Well, of course not. Oh, but the second you make a bad choice, it's God's fault now. The second you choose the wrong thing because God gave you the choice, like man always does, all of a sudden it's God's fault now because he gave you the ability to choose. What do you want then? So what you want is the right to choose as long as you're right, and you can say, "Woo! I'm so smart, I'm so great, I'm so awesome." But the second you mess up, you want God to come on the scene and push you back to the right decision and then and make it all hunky-dory to where there's no wars, there's no abortion, there's no evil. Hallelujah. I think you get me. Man wants, he wants his choice, but for some reason he can't have enough gall to realize God's choice is better. Yes, amen. Amen. Pray for these souls. I believe they wouldn't be asked for no reason. We're getting somewhere. I'll find one of them. That's all right. I had to press through a lot of belief myself to get to this truth. That's right. Some of y'all did the same. Isaiah 55, 6. Listen now. He says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's right. See, it's not that God doesn't say we make mistakes. He knows it. It's not that God knows we made bad choices. He knows it. But what's he tell you? Just come seek me. Please, just come this way, and I will make you whole again. I will save you. But again, like I was trying to explain to him, I said, you're walking off a cliff, and I'm sitting here screaming at you, don't do it, don't do it. And you say, man, I want to do it. What do you want from me? He's like, well, what if you don't physically do something? Well, say I go over there and tackle you and wrestle you down and say, stop it, and you just keep on crawling to the edge. I'm not going down with you, buddy. I'm going to let go at the end. See ya. Because I'm staying on the word. That's right. And as much as we love our friends, we love our associates, we love our families, you can't leave the word to save them. Because you're going off the same cliff they are. And it's not easy because you love them. It's not easy. But look, you can't save them. I can't save them. Jesus already did. Hallelujah. Forsake your ways. Come back to the Lord. Not just your ways, but your thought about your ways. I've seen too many Christians do this. They will forsake sin, but never get rid of the idea that it's actually wrong. That it's actually sin. So when a little bit of taste comes here, they say, well, that's all right. Before you know it, they're right back in what they were before. It's time for us to recognize things really are black and white. All this gray that we've been sucking down our throats from Laodicea needs to get thrown up. That's what God did with it. He said, you're not hot or cold. You ain't black or white. You're all gray. And you know what it did? It made me sick. So I just threw it up. Just vomit you right out of my mouth. Amen. Forsake your thoughts. Forsake your ways. Come to Christ. He is the way. What he does is the right way. You don't need to figure it out. You don't need to be like Thomas here and thinking you got, oh, glory to God. We got Thomas all over this place, don't we? I don't know. We already got Thomas and Tom. I have to call you Tommy, brother. I don't know. We got to figure something out. But Thomas here in the Bible, and if it applies to Thomas, if it applies to you, praise God. Take it and run with it. Amen. Because it doesn't matter. I'm going to say it like this. I'm to the point now. And some people have a real hard time with this. They'll have somebody come tell them that they're doing something wrong. And they know it's wrong. They know it's against the word. But what do they begin to realize? Well, this other person's a hypocrite. This other person's got sin. This other person does wrong. So instead of actually caring about their relationship with God, they begin to play a who's a more hypocrite battle. And says, you're a bigger hypocrite than me. You can't tell me I'm doing anything wrong. And they'll say, well, I understand that I do this and I do that. But look what you do. That ain't what, I mean, look, you can be the biggest hypocrite in the world if you can admit it and say, you know what, I'm wrong, brother. I'm trying. I need the grace of God in my life. Lord, pray, help me. Help me, Lord. That's some way to get somewhere. That's right. And you know what? Sin is sin. And that's where I'm getting at. I love the Lord so much, I don't care if you are a full-blown hypocrite. If you got something in the Word that you know I'm doing wrong, I want to know about it. Why? Because you'll reap what you sow. That's your problem. I can't help that. But I can help my relationship with God. You know, Balaam's donkey was a hypocrite. Donkeys aren't prophets. They ain't supposed to be. He'd be something he wasn't. But God had to use a hypocrite because the real prophet wouldn't listen. Glory. Well, that was free. That's all right. But see, wherever the Word, that's why the Word has got to become your absolute. Not just in substance, but in delivery, in the way God does things. Hallelujah.
Sure.
So then you won't worry about all that. Let me finish that scripture. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Go ahead and humble yourself and say, amen, Lord.
Amen.
That's right. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word go forth from my out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. And God has already sent us His Word. It's not up to you and me, really, to even get it done. God is getting it done. God's Word cannot return void. Unbelief does not stop God. Unbelief only stops an unbeliever from receiving it. That's right. But if you're a believer today, don't you worry. The Word of God has gone forth. You keep believing it. You keep preaching it. You keep living it. It will come to fruition. Yes, it will. I don't care what adversaries come against it. If it's the true, unadulterated Word, then you're in the way. Hallelujah. Because Jesus is the Word. I was reading now the world falling apart here today. Actually, I've been reading it for a little while. I haven't got too far, and I keep getting some good things, and that's all I can do is just read that and then build a thought on it. But out of this world falling apart in 1962, Brother Branham says this. He says, they were praying for a Messiah. They wanted a Messiah. But here's where it's at. They wanted Him in the way that they wanted. And God set Him in the way that He wanted Him, and they refused Him. And they do it again today. Do the same thing today. They refuse it again. They do the same thing now as they did then. Why? For the same reason. The same reason. He came then, and we know He come. He came into them, but He didn't come in the fashion and in the way that they desired Him to come. And if God would send us something today, we're calling out for it in the church. And when God sends it, we don't want it. It don't come to suit our denominational taste. See, look, it doesn't mean you're in a denomination for you to still have thoughts of being in a denomination. Right. Our church got it right. Nobody else knows what they're talking about. We got to do it this way. So where are you getting that, brother? I don't know. It's just my feelings. His ways is higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. Go ahead and take that and let's bundle it all together. We're like we should. Throw it right there in that trash can and leave it there. Yeah. That's what we need to start doing with our thoughts. We'll actually get somewhere with God. Amen. Yeah. Praying for things. And let me just finish this quote and I'll talk on that. It didn't come to suit our denominational taste. It don't come to suit our theological conception of it sometimes. It's the very thing that we prayed for. The very quest that we ask before God. God sent it to us and we refuse it. We want a Christmas gift from God, but we want it the way we want it. God sends it the way we need it. He knows what the nation, He knows what the churches need, but we think we know, but He knows really what it is. Amen. And I've been hearing, you got two camps. You got a camp in the message on anymore that we ain't even worried about the gifts of the Spirit. We ain't worried about the moon or the Holy Ghost. It doesn't really, we're past all that. We're just sitting here in the ark just waiting for Jesus to come and we'll just float away one day. That ain't how it's going. That ain't the truth. Brother Branham said, show you where God put the gifts in the church, where God gave the Holy Ghost to the church, and you show me where He took it out. He also said, as I read earlier, Mark 16 in action is the true church. Everything else is false. But we got another group over here. We're saying, oh, we got to pray for this. Oh, we got to, oh, God, send it. Oh, God, where is it? And it's here the whole time.
Amen.
But it don't come the way you like. Oh, if somebody was really going to speak in tongues, well, it'd be me. Because I'm the most spiritual, of course. And if it was out of them, again, we played the hypocrite battle. They're more of a hypocrite than I am. Why God use them instead of me? Well, they might have more faith in you.
Right.
No, actually, they do. That's the thing. You got real quiet on that one. But look, if you want to break down, we're all hypocrites every day. We all make mistakes. We all do things that we're not really on the inside.
Right.
That's right. But it takes a man of faith to stand up and say, but by God's grace and to make it right and to move on in the power of the blood of Christ. That takes a real man. Amen. Now the Holy Ghost is a lie. Don't get me wrong. You can't go out running on your wife and murder somebody. You know?
Right.
No, I'm talking, finding a dollar on the ground and not giving it back is a little bit different than killing somebody. People think, sin is sin. I understand that, but you definitely reap differently.
Yeah.
That's right. And the Holy Ghost don't let you live in sin. It don't.
Right.
You won't stay there and you definitely won't go crossing the line into all kinds of blasphemy. That's nonsense. The Holy Ghost, it's such a disgrace to God's power. God don't change. He is an overcoming force. He is a consuming fire. And when you say you receive the Holy Ghost, it comes with fire. Why? To burn out the things of the world. Don't tell me you received the Holy Ghost and God gave it to some other way. He did not.
Right.
Oh, He gives it the same way. It's the Holy Ghost and fire. And it's keeping me alive. Too many preachers, I'll just throw a name out there. You're getting used to hearing it around here, but there's a lot of false doctrine from this man. Jeff Jenkins has said the same thing. I remember Brad Burgess. I don't know if y'all know Brad Burgess. He's down there by Jeffersonville. Been to his church a few times. He's a great brother. Hallelujah. I love that brother. He's awesome. But he was talking to, I heard this from one of his people. He said he was talking to Jeff Jenkins one time. And they were explaining about receiving the Holy Ghost and things. He said, well, did you receive the Holy Ghost like they did in Acts? And Jeff Jenkins says, well, not exactly. That way, just kind of, it was a little bit different or whatever. And he's like, what other different way is there? What message you listening to? And right there was the seed. And that's things like that what ran me away from that nonsense a long time ago. Amen. That's right. I'm sorry. I praise God. I believe I'll see Brother Lonnie again, but maybe because some of the things he said, he ain't going to get his children. You might not like that, but that's the truth. I believe Lonnie believed this thing. I believe he believed the message. I believe he's saved. What's sad is if you go ask Jeff and his other sons and stuff, you know what? Brother Lonnie went to the grave believing the message. So according to their belief, he's in hell. But they won't tell you that. They'll say, oh, no, if he was here, he would have come out and things and he wouldn't recognize the truth. You don't get chance to. Yeah, that don't matter what you would have done. Elvis Presley wouldn't have sold out for Cadillacs if he could come back today. The rich young ruler would have said, you know what, Jesus? That stuff really wasn't worth nothing. I ought to give it to you now. You don't get a chance to. So it's either right or wrong. That shows you when the foundation's wrong, they're a bunch of hypocrites. You don't need to follow that nonsense. Praise God. It doesn't make sense. You're right. That's why it's not the truth. Hallelujah. I want a Christmas gift from God. I want the gifts of the Spirit. I want the Holy Ghost. Well, but then God sends it. But that didn't work the way I thought it would. You've been surprised. You sat through Brother Branham's meeting. I think a lot of message people would have sat through the meetings. They wouldn't have liked the way it happened. Was it dramatic enough? It wasn't powerful enough. Hallelujah. This little man standing there said, I'm waiting on the Spirit now. He was literally saying, I'm just talking until he gets here. Oh, I thought this man had to pack. Well, I'm just waiting on the Lord, you know, and we'll just talk. You know, it's like the woman at the well and things. And he said, okay, he's here now. You're from here. Oh, no, he was just doing that because he was looking through a wallet or something while he was talking. That's what some people believe anymore. You know, he was trying to memorize the prayer cards. And the next sentence will say he's so stupid he can't remember his own birthday. Is he a genius or is he dumb? You tell me. That's right. Here's what it is. If he's dumb, we're all dumb. That's right. But God's really smart. Amen. Amen. Why is it such a miraculous thing to us that God knows about us? That's all it was. That's the only revelation. That's why Brother Branham said the gift isn't what's healing you. It's that you're recognizing God is here now. Because you know I don't know this, but the only way I could know it is that God's talking to you. If we would just get the same revelation, that's all it takes. We've proven that here. If you can just believe that this is really God and His way is through preaching. It is through spitting. It is through giving God, yelling and screaming and not worried about your neighbor, but worried about God. Amen. That's what you got to break through this religion veil that we've put up in the message and recognize that God works in our heart. He works in our emotions. Yes, He does when they're channeled toward Him. People say, well, it's not based on emotions. I understand that. But anything that got no emotions, dead. Yes. Hallelujah. Well, my doctor don't like that quote. Well, get rid of your doctrine then. Yes. Hallelujah. I like all the quotes. Yes. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. I love the whole Bible. You ain't going to find a scripture that makes me mad. Right. That's right. I don't mind you reading it to me when I'm doing it wrong. Amen. You know what? That's a hard thing to find anymore. You know, if we would take less energy making excuses and just say, you know what, I'm wrong, I think we get a little bit further in Christ. Yep, I've watched them. Oh my, you know, this is why it's not an idol, and this is why it's okay, and this is why, because, you know, you do this, and that could be an idol, so I'm doing this, and that. You spent 10,000 hours doing it. I'm pretty sure that's an idol. I might have looked at one clip and closed the thing. I'm just being straight up. You know what? Anymore, I thank God for that stuff. I thank God that they're starting to record how long we're on things. Yes. How, you know, they got this thing for gaming now where it'll tell you how many hours you played everything. Right. Praise God. Then you can see, wow, I'm wasting my life. Yeah. Been trying to tell you that for years. Yeah. I had a student tell me since 2011 on one game, he spent 3,000 hours. One game. And he plays other things too, but he says, yeah, it's up to 3,000 hours. And he's like, dude, come on, man. That's like, we begin to calculate. If you didn't sleep, that's playing the game for 6 months without stopping. No sleeping, no taking breaks. You're playing it straight. You wasted 6 months of your life. For what? For what? Hallelujah. Listen to this now. Out of a paradox, Brother Branham says this. Remember, God tries His people who believes His word. Where God is, there's always a paradox because He does things that's incredible to the human thinking. Did you know that? We all know that. Incredible to the human thinking. And He tries those humans that are predicting this paradox. He gives them trials. Never does He omit or change His way. God never changes His system. Do you know that, brethren? Sure you do. He never changes His system. He always keeps it going in continuity the way He started. He never dealt with the world only under preaching. Oh, glory to God. With one man, Noah, he never had four go down and deliver him or organization in the days of Moses. He never had two in the earth at the same time. Each one of us different from one another. Our features, our makeups. God just, all He needs is just one person that He can get in His control. That's His example. He did it by Moses. He did it always. And people don't like that. Why? Because I know this man's faults. I know his failures. I know what he's done wrong. I know where he told this story wrong. And that dismisses the whole doctrine of it. Come on now. I ain't told the same story twice without changing something probably. That's right. I thank God I am getting recorded, I guess, but not millions of people listening to me all the time and taking something I said 20 years ago and comparing it with when I told it this time. Some of y'all lost your memory so much you don't even remember anything from 20 years ago anymore. This guy too, don't worry. I'm starting to get a little, wait, what was that again? And then, oh wait, that wasn't them. That was a different story. Put that thing together. But you know what? That doesn't change the revelation of the word. That's right. That show. You know what that shows? He was a man. You know what that shows? We're men. And you know what? That gives me a chance. Because if I had to make sure that I had never said nothing wrong for the last, I've been almost 30 years now, 29 years of my life, never said one thing wrong without contradicting myself, then I guess I'm lost. That ain't me that's worried about. It's the Word. The Word does it contradicts itself. And when that Spirit comes on, it ain't never failed yet. That's right, brother, sister. God has sent His gifts. He sent the prophet. He's given us the Word. And people are starting to believe it. God is not failing. His way is working. Amen. Amen. Well, if I was going to, you know, help Lazarus out, I'd have showed up the second I knew he was sick. That's the way most people do it.
Yeah.
They called for him and said, hey, Jesus, come on. We need you. You told us you loved us.
Yeah.
That's right.
Sure.
Gotta, oh, I thought this brother loved me. Oh, he don't love me. He didn't show up right away. And then they called again. Hey, he's getting worse. You better hurry up. He said, nope, ain't coming.
Yeah.
See how hard that is to swallow down when you actually go back and be like, well, man, that would be hard to be Martha. Yeah, yeah, it was. That's right. You had to really believe this. You had to really believe that this was the Son of God and His way is the right way.
Amen.
Then He dies.
Yeah.
And everybody's... You know, your friends, they ain't going to let you go. Huh. Where's that Jesus you said you believe you're crazy? Huh? What's that message doing for you? I saw how it broke up that family. Even though Jesus said He would do that. He said, I come and sent father against mother, mother against brother. And I bring a sword. Come on, that's right. But He gives the parent a promise. That's right. Hallelujah. But you know what? He's dead. He's gone. It's over. No chance. Man, Jesus, does He really love us? You don't think these thoughts went through their heads? Of course it did. But something happened when He finally showed up. Something on the inside said, I don't understand it. I can't figure it out. My ways don't make sense. My thoughts about this don't make sense. I wouldn't have done it like this. But He's here. He's here. He said, Lord, if You would have been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, whatever you ask God, He'll do it. I don't care what trouble you've gone through, how hard it is. Can you raise your hand and say, Lord, but You're here now. And however you do it, that's fine with me. I still believe You. I still trust You. And I'm still believing Your way of doing things. Because even when Jesus is 4 days late, He's right on time. Hallelujah. And He showed up as we think. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And they still didn't quite have His thinking, did they? So, well, we understand that, Jesus. I believe Lazarus is going to be in heaven. He said, but I am the resurrection. So let's go. Let's go to the tomb. And they get there. This is all free today. Praise the Lord. They get there. And what do they? He said, look, go ahead and roll the stone. The belief tried to come back up again. But Lord, He's stinking already. He said, don't worry about that. Get that stone out of the way. Do what I said. That's right. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Look at what happened. Look, oh man, the believers are just having a heyday. Well, of course you would. Praise God. But there was a group of people who claimed to believe the same God of Moses, the same God of Elijah and Elisha that raised people from the dead, standing off to the corner. And because of the way Jesus was doing it, they not only condemned the whole thing, they said, we got to kill him. Think about that. What are you talking about? That strategy doesn't even make sense because they tried. Lazarus was dead and the guy brought him back. What good's going to do to kill him again? Amen. You're fighting a losing battle. But you read it. They saw. That's why it doesn't matter anymore, brother, sister. Quit basing on how people react to it.
Amen.
Preach the word.
Amen.
You're saying, well, they believe someone raised from the dead. Yeah, that rich young ruler thought the same thing, but it won't work. Jesus told them they have Moses. They have the prophets. They have the word. And if they won't believe that, they won't believe one raised from the dead. Lazarus is a prime example of that. They knew he was dead. They confess, this is a miracle. We know it.
Yeah.
We know that man was dead in Brother Branham's ministry. We know that boy couldn't walk. We know this blinded eyes was healed. But we got to figure out a way to dismiss the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Why? Because, look, they wanted the miracles. Who doesn't want miracles? Come on. Even crazy, you know, just nonsense. I'm the loony bins of the world want to see supernatural. That don't mean nothing. Come on. But how do we know it's real? How do we know it's genuine? How do we know it's actually helping us and ain't killing us? Look, there's a whole side of spirituality I don't want nothing to do with. I really don't. I mean, you might want to see devils. I ain't interested. That's right. I'm interested in them getting where they're supposed to be. That's under my feet.
Amen.
That's right. Whew. Glory to God. If he can just get one of us, that's all he needs. And brother, sister, you can't wait for somebody else. I'm going to tell you, the one he wants is you.
Yes.
That's how we serve God, is recognizing he wants me to believe in his way. Hallelujah. And that's where you get results. Isn't that right? I thank people that done things and actually committed it to God. And then it comes to pass. Instead of hounding over it and doing it and every, you know, they say that, oh yeah, God will heal me. And the next second, they're taking every drug on the countertop and going to every doctor and saying, woe is me, never going to get healed of this. You told me you believed. Do it God's way.
Amen.
Well, you know what? If you need some things, the prophet tell you. The word will come by. How many knows what I'm talking about? Was it Hezekiah? We think, oh my God, you know, Elijah just did this and boom, Hezekiah was healed. Then you read the other account. Nope, go get some figs and put it on it. He'll get better.
Amen.
See, but the difference is the word was behind that.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We don't like God's way of doing things. Why can't he do a miracle every time? That's not his way. Because people want God to be a big show off.
Yeah.
Why? Because that's what they are.
Yeah.
They want God to be like Satan and exalt himself and show how strong he is. You know, I don't know, you might try to be an atheist, but I think we all can believe in the devil. There's so much evidence on this earth that there's a devil somewhere. That's right, because he's on a rampage. But we know the word said that would happen. Not because God desired it, because man chose it.
Yes.
Hallelujah! And I believe the same with the prophet. I don't even think God had to destroy the world in the days of Noah. He let man have his way.
Yeah.
And man destroys himself. We have evidence of that on every corner, that just right out of here. We get us a device because we're too lazy to walk anymore. That's what happened. We used to be able to, you know, 100 years ago. For some reason, we can't walk nowhere. Some of you still can't walk nowhere, I guess. You're getting really quiet. Well, we build this device that's got so many things that could happen to go wrong to kill us. And then we get mad it kills us. Yeah, I heard it this way. The helmet's the prime device that shows how stupid humans have gotten.
Right.
Here we go. We create a bike, which is all right. You know, you might need a helmet for that. But I'm talking about a motorcycle helmet.
Yeah.
We create a thing called a motorcycle that we know you have no chance. If you hit a rock, I'm talking without a helmet, you're pretty much done.
Yeah.
You curb the road a little bit, somebody pulls out in front of you, you're gone. But the human is so stupid. Instead of saying, you know what? We probably shouldn't ride these things anymore. We probably should find a new way to do this. Instead, I want to keep doing it my way, but I'm going to put on a helmet so I feel better about it. Which, for a little wreck, a helmet might help you, but I'm here to tell you, if you're really getting one, it just bobble your head a little bit. At least they'll know who died. Amen. God is not a brute. He is not a dictator. He is a gentleman. And people think they want him to be that way until they recognize that he will only warn you so long. Until, you know what? Okay. Have your way. And I can show you examples of that Bible. Let me read a few. Let me read. I'm going a little longer already because I expect to be a little further than this. But praise the Lord. Acts chapter 7:41 says this, and they made a calf in those days and offered sacrifice unto the idol and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven. As is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Just think of that for a minute. Look, we do a person a good deed one time, we expect them to worship us the rest of their life. And come on, I'm the greatest, I'm the best, don't ever say nothing bad about me, but That, you know what? You're wrong. You're wrong, brother. That's the way it is. I love you. Yeah, you did that for me. Praise God. But you're wrong today. Yeah. Amen. And here's God coming, give him all kinds of miracles, all kinds of signs, bring him all the way out. And Moses is gone 40 days. 40 days. Kind of like a prophet being gone 50 years, isn't it? We don't know what happened. Oh, forgot all about that. Don't remember. We don't like God's way of doing this. If we were really going to get there, we'd already been there. What's up with this? Come on, a lot of people believe that in this message. Well, if he was really a prophet, 1977 would have cut it. 2000 the latest. There ain't no way we'd still be here in 2015. Then I'll read the other quotes. He said it could be 100 years.
Right.
What if it is?
Right.
We'll get hell. We'll see the Bible come fulfilled. It will get so small.
Yeah.
That's why technology is on a rampage. Because, and look, the devil's doing it. I agree. But God is allowing it. That's God's way. God's way is to not just say, oh yeah, like Job. You know, devil comes to Job or to God and says, look, he's only serving you because he's got a hedge about him. God took the hedge away. He's doing it to the bride in this day, taking it all away. And it might not necessarily be houses and cars and things, even though it is. I think we're all broke now, right? Compared to maybe 20 years ago, it looked like you could live a decent life. Now you barely make it on anything. Praise the Lord, but God makes a way. That's right. That's what God's doing to us here in America. He's getting us to realize, you can't do this without me.
That's right.
Because I'm talking spiritually now. You can't overcome the internet without Christ. You can't overcome football. You can't overcome the things of the world. There's just too much pressure. There's too much information. Man, before you wanted to hear about a game, you better know the radio channel at what time, or you ain't going to hear it. There's only one brother knows about that anymore. That's all right. You better have a newspaper ready the next day or you ain't going to hear about it. You better hope that reporter actually got there and got the right numbers. You might get a bunch of nonsense.
Yeah.
Now, man, boom, log on.
Yeah.
You know every play right now. And if it gets wrong, they'll fix it right now.
Yeah.
They give you little highlights here and there just in case you're missing it.
Yeah.
And you'll do like I used to do all the time, get involved in some game I don't even care about.
Right.
I just say, well, I'm going to go for the green guys because... I don't know. They're losing right now. I hope they win. No. And you know what? You know what? I've told you about this, but I recognize it too. You get emotionally involved all of a sudden. And you're taking a God-given instinct that God has given you to worship Him.
Yeah.
And you are worshiping something else.
Right.
And you say, well, that's this little minor thing. But you know what? I'm okay with recognizing, yeah, that little minor thing is still wrong. Brother Branham said it like this, and God help us to be more sincere. He said he was telling a little joke. Remember, there's the three greatest men who came from Kentucky. It was Abraham Lincoln, somebody else. I can't remember. Yeah, and then your dad. Yeah. And he said, you know what? I really shouldn't cut up like that.
Yeah.
Amen. But it's the truth. God comes. He warns us. He's warned us. And even us here, right here, church, He's warned us to stay away from the pressures in the world, from the pressures coming from church, from the pressures coming from those that claim to believe this.
Right.
Amen. Look, as I've told you, I know you're the same. You could have a lot of friends if you lowered your standards. You could have a lot more acquaintances. You could go to a lot more parties. You could have a lot more greater time if you would lower your standards. Say, sure, let's go to the movies. You might look at me funny, but I know preachers that don't even care about going to movies anymore.
Yeah.
It's fine. We'll go there. That's all right. We can go there. It's no big deal. You'd be surprised, too, who that might be. But anyways, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I don't even care. I don't care where it comes from. That's sometimes people think family things, don't they? Well, they'll say it against somebody else, but not their own family. Well, the Crust family's backwards. If there's anybody going to hear it, it's us.
Right.
That's right. If there's anything, my dad, he's going to hear it from me. That's right. I'll hear it from him.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
Yep.
And you know what? I'll say this as my witness. I can't speak for my father. He's my father, right? But what made me believe Dad's experience is when I had something that God showed me, and I showed it to my dad, and he said, you know what? You're right. That shows a real man of God. That even if it is my son, and he's a rebellious jerk, he's right. Because he's saying the word. That's what made me believe it. That's right. Another time in 1 Samuel that the Israelites came to Samuel asking for their way of doing things. Let me just read it to you. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy way. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. We're tired of sticking out. Make us look like the rest of the churches. Make it to where the Baptists don't get mad that we're here. Make it so that the Pentecostals accept us. Make it so that we're all good friends and hunky-dory and there ain't no problems no more. Let us make all the churches. Let's cancel church and have volleyball. We can't do communion. It's too hard. Or we can't do football. Some people do communion, yeah. But, you know, one dangerous. We better get out. Because, you know, it might kill us. Plenty of sinners proved to you that one sip ain't going to kill you. It's the whole bottle that kills you. Say you're drunk out in the road somewhere. Bible said take a little wine for your stomach's ache, and too many Christians are doing this to it. Look, there you go. Take communion. Right. Praise God. There's a little wine for your stomach's sake. And we can't make it to that, but oh, we don't got no room for foot washing these days. It's 2015. There might be germs. You show me where Jesus cared about germs. Come on. I want any student of the Bible in any regard to show me where Jesus said anything about germs. You know what's happened? We're a bunch of sissies now. And instead of germs, we'll take pesticides and bleach and all kinds of nonsense that gets thrown in our food and think it's safer. Just like I had a friend of mine there. I came over to, when I used to live on Rolf Street here, that house that burnt down, there was a grapevine back there. And he was afraid to eat those grapes. I'm like, what are you talking about? They grew right here in the ground. We'll go and rinse them off. What more do you want? And they didn't come out of some processed store. If you only knew where them grapes came from, you're not really a germaphobe, because who knows how many workers touched them grapes before you got them. Right. How many trucks they were on. And how much dirt got thrown on? How many bugs was on top of it before you got a hold of it? I hope I'm making you real uncomfortable, because it's time to leave this place. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Make us a king like all the nations. Preach like everyone else does. Water it down, brother. We can wear shorter skirts. It's okay. We can trim the end of our hair. It's okay. We can worship sports so much that it's Saturday night and we're still on Facebook talking about it instead of praying for church the next day, and we're preachers. It's nonsense. It's nonsense. Who cares? I care about this. If there's anything we should care about, at least naturally speaking, it would be church. Because, yeah, you got your daily walk with the Lord and things, but there are physical things we can do. We already talked about some of them. How about communion? How about foot washing? How about coming to church? How about getting baptized? Come on. Those are still commandments of the Lord, and we ought to do it. We don't need to be like the other nations. We do it the way God told us. Amen. Amen. We do it the way the prophet showed us, because that's God's way of doing things. Amen. Amen. You can give me all your doctrines about communion, foot washing, all this stuff. I'm going to do it the way the prophet said, which comes right from the Bible. Amen. Amen. We don't need to update it. We need to de-date us and go back to the Word. Hey, we're getting way too modern. I'm serious. It's making me sick anymore. I'm tired. I wish you, but we need to, we're going to stick out as believers. You don't need to get an attitude about it. You don't want to be the prodigal son's other brother, where you get all religious and mad because somebody gets repentant and comes back, Lord, and you can't accept that. I ain't talking about getting that legalistic. But you, look, you should I don't think it would have been good for him to say, yeah, it was okay for him to do that. It's okay for him to run out and spend all dad's money. No, it wasn't. No, you don't water down the Word, but you appreciate when people come back to the Word. Hallelujah. Let me keep reading. It says, but the king, the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works that they have done since the day that I brought them out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore, hearken unto their voice. Listen to what God tells the prophet. He said, look, they've already rejected me. He's like, actually, they've been doing it since I first talked to them. They have been rejecting me. So what they ask, go ahead and give it to them. But he says this, howbeit, yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. Look, they don't like God doing it this way. God coming to them and saying, look, sure, have what you want. Here you go. But I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. It's going to destroy you. It's going to tear your nation apart. This king will not love you. He will take your kids and make them his servants. He will tax you. He's going to do all kinds of things you don't want to happen. But you want it, so I'm going to give it to you. Well, God, why don't you do it the other way? Why don't you tell me the consequences and then give me the choice? Because you have to stay with the Word.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. It's not stacking up evidence. It isn't, you know, God does things and then we believe. No, we believe, then God brings His Word to pass. You have to believe God. That's how I shut up that whole argument there in class that day. I said, look, the Bible is the way of God's way of doing things. And he said, it is impossible to please God without faith. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. So if you are telling me there's no hope for you to believe that God even is, God will never speak to you. Because you're trying to make God come on your way when God only works on His way. Brother, sister, don't you never let that influence you. That way, if God was really going to talk to me, it wouldn't be through Brother Andrew today on this day.
Right.
It wouldn't be on this tape that brother, you know, that was from 55. That's outdated. It wouldn't be from this Bible, me just casually reading it, because that's not spiritual enough. It'd be through some dream that I widely interpret and I apply it to something it has nothing to do with.
Right.
So I can live in sin and feel good about it. And I can reject that preacher who keeps telling me I'm wrong all the time. Because I've got real evidence. If it ain't the Word, you ain't got nothing.
Amen.
That's right. The Word's the absolute. But don't tell me the supernatural don't happen from the Word. It will. And it's a lot better than your bunch of knockoffs. It's a lot better than a Saul. I'd rather have Samuel, a man that can hear from God and tell you where to go. And just like Elisha, one of the two. They kept trying to fight Israel. And he kept telling them, they're going to come here. You better leave. And they thought first time, well, that was a pretty good move. That was a good move. You know, you're pretty smart. And then the second time it happened, said, whoa, something going on. And third time they said, okay. Remember, I think it was Syria or somewhere. He said, come here, you boys. Who's lying? Who's getting behind my back and telling them that? Which one of you told the preacher that I was doing that in my house? Which one of you went through my closet and saw that? Which one of you know? and a man stood up and said, Lord, we all like you, all right? We're all behind you, but they got a prophet.
Yeah.
And he tells Israel what you're saying in your closet. And then people say, oh, yeah, I believe in the gifts of Spirit. I believe in the offices of God. And then I don't expect it to say things that only God would know. That's why the pastor, I think, is one of the hardest jobs, because it's really hard for people to overcome that.
Yeah. Sure.
Oh, an evangelist come here, he say the same thing I say.
Yeah.
And you know what? He knows just as much about your situation as I do. But all of a sudden, you gather faith.
Yeah.
That you know what? That's right. Oh, okay. So now we're not believing the Word for the Word's sake. We're believing it for the vessel it comes through.
Sure.
Oh, you're just trying to get pastor pity. Yeah, okay. Now, you got the wrong pastor for that. I don't worry about that. I've learned it's the Word getting the bride ready. That's what we come down to. And you know what? I'm so happy when I see it happening. It just is thrilling my soul more and more. I think our brother being here getting baptized, that so encourages me. Yes, it does. That God is still bringing His elect back. Amen. And I don't care who it is. I don't. I'm not here to show off. You might even think of some of the ministers I have. You want to know? I'll just give you a few of them. Brother Collins told me he's seen visions. Brother Josiah speaks in tongues. Brother Alexander's seen visions, seen the pillar of fire and all kinds of things. I believe in a man that believes in what he's saying.
Amen.
You say, well, his style, his method, I don't care about none of that. If I want a man that when he says it, in his heart he believes it and it happens. Amen. That's right. And I'm not a hypocrite. I believe this Word. I believe the young men still see visions. I believe old men still have real spiritual dreams that actually apply to something. That's right. I still believe in speaking in tongues. I believe Mark 16 is in action. And I'm not waiting for it to get in action. I'm waiting for people to realize it's already here and get in action yourself. Hallelujah. Quit praying for something that God gave you and pray that you'll believe it. Hallelujah. Look, this message is God's way of restoring us. It is His way of restoring us. He gave us tapes. He gave us books. That was His way. Do you read them? Come on. Do you listen to it? Then if you don't expect to be restored. You can't. Because that's God's way. Well, sure, I'd like speaking in tongues. Sure, you do it once. And you'll realize your way is not God's way. Well, Lord, I'd really like to do it like this to where I don't have to deal with any doubt or any frustration. The devil don't talk to me at all. And then I'll know it's you. Well, you're in the wrong battlefield. That's right. And some of you all that experience those things know that's nothing but the truth. You have to overcome fear to get to Christ. That's right. Just as much as you had to overcome your sin to get to Him, you've got to overcome doubt and frustrations to ever see the supernatural. That's right. That's why the prophet told us to get here early and pray.
Amen.
Oh, you still believe that, Brother Andrew? Yes, I do.
Amen.
Yes, I do. And I will keep saying it.
Yes, sir.
I think we should be here at least a half hour early to pray.
Yes.
Not here to go look at the clock for a half hour. Not here to wonder what everybody's doing for a half hour. But here to pray.
Amen.
And to even be in the Word and to get your mind off other things and recognize we're here to worship God.
Amen.
And this was His way, one of His ways of speaking to us.
Yes.
That's right. And if you can't believe that, that's why you won't go to church.
That's right.
That's right. That's why you'll doubt everything that's said. Because you've got to have faith in the way God said He does things.
Amen.
Sure.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's time to go back to His way and just forget all this.
Yeah.
That's right. Aren't you tired of God telling you your way's bad?
Yeah.
Instead of just saying, you know what? Yep. Amen, Lord. Amen. And we'll go test God's way, won't we? We'll say, oh, I don't know. Maybe I could. Nope, nope, nope. Didn't work. Nope. Better just come right back to the Word. That's right. Just stay with the Word. David said it this way. Let's turn there real quick. I'll close here in a minute. Psalms 18. Enjoying the Word this afternoon.
Amen.
Amen. Some of y'all. The rest of y'all can say amen in your heart. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Psalms 18. Let's read verse 30. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? Listen to this now. It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon the high places. I'll just stop there. You see what he's saying? David is saying, God's way is perfect and He makes my way perfect. How? By me getting rid of my way and just doing it His way and to not compromising and not watering it down, but saying, Lord, it's the way that You said it should be. And I'm going to leave it that way. Lord, I don't need to kill Saul to be king. You told me I'd be king. And I'm going to do it Your way by respecting Your anointed. As Your word tells me, don't put your hand towards the Lord anointed. That's right. And David took that upon his heart. And God honored him. Set him to be a king. He said, Lord, make my way perfect. God, that's all I want. It ain't about you changing your way. It's about your way going into the bin of fire and going God's way. Hallelujah. Lord, if You were going to deliver us, there wouldn't be a fiery furnace here today. There wouldn't have been a law told me I couldn't pray. There wouldn't have been these people persecuting me. The pastor wouldn't have backslid. If it was really You, Lord, it wouldn't just be us three standing out here in the crowd standing while everybody else is bowing down worshiping to some idol. That's how much people's faith. That's about how little it is. Because any trial comes, it's gone. And Jesus said it would be that way. He said He threw the seed. Hallelujah. Are you getting bored yet?
No.
All right, praise the Lord. He threw the seed. And He said some, you know, went by the wayside and just gone. He said some didn't have any root though. And when a persecution or a tribulation or a trial or something they didn't quite like just right or something they didn't bargain for, why would a message preacher hurt me if it was true? Oh, glory. Why would those so-called believers do that? It's God seeing if you can be run off. You say, well, that's not being like Jesus, is it? Looked at the multitude and said, what are you going to say? When I tell you, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have any life. I don't know about this, Jesus. He didn't explain it. He didn't go through all the quotes and lay it all out and say, this is why it's true. He just let the word be what it was. And you know what? It ran him off. Then he got to his ministers. Isn't that right? He said, okay, you know, that was pretty hard, but what about this? Which is still truth. What are you going to say when I go back to the right hand where I came from?
Right, yeah.
Where you came from? What are you talking about? You're from Nazareth. You're from the worst town we know of. You're from Detroit. Come on. You're from the slums. You were born by some backwash woman that had an affair. You're going to tell me? I'm the grandson of the man that went hunting with Brother Branham.
That's right.
You're going to tell me I can't have a TV? You're going to tell me I can't be, whatever, Buckeye fan or something and go to any other state and they're just as bad everywhere else. Don't worry. It ain't just Ohio. Figured that out the hard way. Because I made some offhand comment about Ohio State and made some people mad. I went, well, okay. Whatever. Yeah, brother, you shouldn't have a TV. Yeah, brother, you shouldn't love the things of the world. That's the Bible, pure and plain. And that's really where it comes down to. Do you like God's way of doing things? Well, if God was going to speak to me, I'd just hear it out of the cloud. You show me where that happens. Because even when God does speak to people, He's never moved His word without man. Ooh, man, that'll hurt some folks, but that's okay. Even when God came to Paul, and the pillar of fire knocked him on his can, that's right, and said, look, you've been on a high horse too long. You need to come serve me. He said, but I'm not going to give you Holy Ghost yet. Go down there to Ananias, and he'll pray for you. But you're right there. The pillar, why can't you just, no, go down there. Oh, actually, you're going to be blind till then. And you're going to sit there for 3 days. And not eat or drink or nothing. God, that's just not very loving. Jesus, you need to be a little bit more like Jesus. That's how most people think it. Amen. But real love, and this is why Brother Branham said it over and over and over again. Love is corrective. Yes, it is. Because all the other things stem from that. That love keeps you on the truth. Love keeps you where things will go right. It keeps you on the beaten path with the bloody footprints of Jesus Christ that go all the way to glory and never stop. That's right. Love brings you back to that. This puppy dog stuff is nonsense. It's lust. It's lust for your flesh to say it's okay to dwell in sin. It's okay to be like this, but it isn't. We should come back to God's way and just stay there. Hallelujah. I don't mean to keep going on, but let me read you this. He says, Brother Branham's talking about, I think y'all know the story, about the little boy who was starting to lose his mind or something, and his mom was doing all kinds of things in front of him, trying to get his attention, and nothing was working, and nothing was working. And Brother Branham picks up the story, sirs, we would see Jesus, 1960. I've done everything I could to attract his attention with little gadgets that ought to attract a little boy's attention. Age and said, this little thing, this little horse cart, and it's got little jingle bells on it. Little boy near Christmas time like this ought to be listening to this bells in the snow and so forth. And said, he just sits and stares in space. Said, he's no better. And a little mother heart screamed out for her baby because she knew that something was mentally wrong with her baby. I think that's a great deal with the church today. God has shook every kind of a gift and things that we could before that He could before the church, and it just sits and stares in space. Well, that was a very nice meeting. Brother Roberts had a fine meeting. Brother Billy Graham has great speaking, but they don't move. What we need today is a stirring revival, something that would go down to cause all-night prayer meetings. Men and women getting right with God and cities turning to God. Great signs and wonders would just keep accumulating. God sends His gifts. He shakes them before our eyes. And if we turn them down, then what can God do about it? Hallelujah. If that mother thought that about her baby, what does God think tonight about His church when we've had so much before us? Great men in the land. Tommy Osborne and Brother Allen. How many great men have crossed this nation from place to place? All kinds of signs and wonders has shown right at the end time. And yet the church sits dazed. Says it was pretty good. I believe we may go to another night. See what will take place at the next meeting. That's not the thing to do. What we need when we see God moving in our midst is to get down to business with it. Pray and cry out and do all that we know how to do. Let the gospel in this last days attract our attention. David said it this way, I'll sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I'll behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Not that I'll walk out in front of the preacher so he feels impressed about me, but I'll walk in my house with a perfect heart, that everything I'm doing, I'm thinking of how much I love you, Lord Jesus. And when it's all done, I don't really care about seeing anybody else or what they think of me. But Lord, it's you that I care about. It's you that I worship. It's you that I pray. It's you that I heard this word to spend time with. It attracted my attention. I'm trying not to preach my next sermon. But look, the 11th hour worker still worked.
Amen.
That's right. He didn't just stand there. He worked for an hour. Amen. A lot of people think we're 11-hour sleepers. No, we slept too long already. We've slept too long in this mess. Some of you fall asleep today. You're sleeping too long. You need to get back into Christ to where the Word actually moves us. To where it does make not just some little one-day repentance that don't get nowhere, where it gets down into the soul and you recognize that God convicted you, and that for you to turn away from that conviction, I don't care what somebody else has done or is doing or how spiritual you think you are. If God convicted you, you should turn away from it.
Amen.
With all your heart, with all your soul, even in your own house, I will walk with a perfect heart. That, Lord, you told me not to watch that.
Right.
You told me not to talk about that.
Right.
Come on. You told me to be what I'm supposed to be in my house.
Yeah.
Amen. And we've all got our callings in Christ, but everyone's just as important as everyone else.
Amen.
This is going to be my last one today. By the grace of God, I love God for His grace. Amen.
Amen.
1964. Doesn't that just warm your heart right there? Christ identified the same in all generations. And now we find in each one of these ages, usually people don't want to believe it because they're already set in their way. You're turning a corner. You're building a building and then get to the corner. Everything is running this way. They don't want to turn the corner. But the building goes that way if the Word says it goes that way. See? That's where we get these junctions of time. That's where it's hard. That's where men had to sweat it out. Because those first, like you think if you're building a wall, those first few bricks look wrong. It, like, brother, look, we've been doing this for years and years and it's worked. Why are you changing the program now? Well, keep building for a while. You recognize, hey, it's really nice to have a wall on this side as well. That keeps all those things that we had to worry about before out of the church. That's right. Instead of having to hound everybody and calling them and bugging them all the time to keep TV out of their house, we just get the real Holy Ghost in church and drives it out. That was nice.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Instead of getting on everybody about coming to church all the time, well, the Holy Ghost gets in the church, they'll come.
Yeah.
Amen. Don't give me your excuses. You can make it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Let me keep reading now. I'll try to finish. Now remember, God never changes His way of doing things. Always through the Scripture, just the same. Now the days of Noah, that was Christ in Noah. That was Noah. Let me skip down. He said, now we see Him, God, then identifying Himself in all ages. How did He identify Himself now? What characteristic did He use? His same characteristic from the beginning, manifesting His Word, making His Word to live. That's the identification, the promised Word of that day, see? Now when Moses came, he couldn't say, now we're going to build an ark and float out of here. That was Noah's message. And that's the trouble. When Jesus came on the scene, He found those Hebrews living in the glare of another light. And that's what it is today. That's what it is in every age. They live in the glare of another light. That's the reason that you Methodists, when you come on the scene, Luther, you was living in the glare of a Lutheran age. They just couldn't accept John Wesley. When Pentecostal came on, the Methodists couldn't accept Pentecost because they was living in the glare of Methodists. And now I wonder what kind of a glare the Pentecostals are living in. See, what you want to do is search the Scriptures and find out the hour that we're living in. And then what's supposed to be here at that time, and see if God makes that live and manifest. And that's the thing we've got, where we've got the right interpretation to the age. Brother, sister, we know what time we're living, and we're living at the end of the world. We are living when God said there would be a bride, there would be a church without spot or wrinkle. This isn't a time to water it down and say, no, we can't do it. It's time to emphasize even more. The Holy Ghost is good enough. We can have a church without spot or wrinkle. We can have such a living Christ that it's pushing everything of the world out of us. To where when Christ comes, we can literally have enough faith to take a step and enter into a different body. Enter into a different world. Well, nothing will change. Oh, I hope you're living for that. Because if you're not, you have no hope. You have no hope in this world. But if you're living for that one moment when it's all over, you'll appreciate staying on the way. You'll appreciate staying on the path that God has given to us. That this is what He said for this day. He said there will be a bride. He said there's been churches, bride. But there will be one who not only has the mechanics, but has the dynamics.
Amen.
That does include speaking in tongues. That does include prophecy. That does include healing. But it also includes the ability to overcome the world. The ability to stay unspotted from the things of the world. That we can really be the Christians that the Bible said we would be.
Sure.
Too many of us are afraid of that challenge. Too many of us want to stay in the world and think, well, if I really love the Word, He'd be done already because He knows what the prophet said. Look, brother, sister, the Word's still coming. The Word's still coming even today. We need to quit dodging the issue.
Amen.
If we ain't right, get right. If we ain't got a real revelation, you need to pray. You need to pray anyways for revelation more than anything. You can't walk without God's way.
Amen.
You can't do a thing right. You can give me all the quotes, all the scriptures you want to. If you ain't got a God-given revelation, it'll never add up right. It'll never work right. You'll say, well, I should be healed and I'm not. And you'll come up with some excuse why it didn't happen when we all know the real reason is you didn't apply the Word.
Amen.
This bride's here. I believe that with all my heart that God has given me new visions. I think we all get in that way now. That, Lord, you know what? The way I thought this was going to happen isn't the way it's going.
Right.
I think some of us are recognizing, you know what? There might not be as many as I previously thought there would be. It's not to slam on anyone. It has nothing to do with that. It's that man is now given his free choice of every type of sin there is. Before, you know, there wasn't all... We're in the most biggest conglomeration of sin that's ever hit the world. And you're beginning to find out, yes, people are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. It's not that they don't love God at all. They want to. Yes, I understand that. There ain't a man on earth who knows deep down in his soul he was built to serve God. But they begin to love pleasure. They begin to love what Brother Branham called one of the greatest curses in this nation, idle living. Lazy. Not interested. Think about it, brother, sister. You know, look how cold we're getting in the message. When's the last time you prayed for someone else? Even when you are being spiritual, do you just pray about you all day? Maybe that's why you don't get no prayers answered.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Shows that you're still missing it. You're getting religious. And that's why we got to quit living in sin so much. Because we spend so much time trying to get good that because we're doing all this bad, we can't even think about nobody else.
Right.
By the time you get thinking about praying to somebody else, but you're like, Lord, I'm a big old hypocrite.
Yeah.
Sure.
And you beat yourself back down to where you ain't doing nothing for God no more.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Come back to God's way. What's God's way? If you'll repent, it's good.
That's right.
Look, listen to me. If you will give your heart back to the Lord and not bring up all the excuses, but be honest. Lord, I am a sinner.
Yes.
I don't care if you got the Holy Ghost. Lord, I've done backslid. Help me.
Amen.
I'm bringing it to you, Lord. I'm bringing it through the blood. I'm believing, Lord, that the power is in me to overcome this. And I'm going to confess that. I'm not going to make excuses. God comes on the scene. You can't hold back, though, brother, sister. We've held back too long.
Yes.
We've said, I can still have this little love for that thing in my heart. No, you can't. It's a little seed. It's a little Amalekite. It'll grow up to a man and kill you one day.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm just praying more than ever. Lord, get my vision back on the Word.
Yes.
Get it right on the Word. You know, Brother Branham's not my idol. But Lord, if there's anybody I could be like, let me be like him in this that was in this day. A man that was that sincere. Hallelujah. A man that didn't worry about prestige and he could have had it. Didn't worry about money and could have had it. Could have been on television. Could have had all kinds of signs. Made all kinds of gimmicks out of the gift of God, but didn't do it. And because of that, I can know the truth today. Because of that, I had someone to give me the true word without prestige. Hallelujah. And to know it's true because it lives.
Amen.
It still lives. Brother, we can't find it no more. It's not outside of the truth. There is no life. There is no way to do it. There's no way to have it without the truth because He's the same person. Do you see Him today? Can you see Jesus as the truth? Can you see Him as the life? But can you see Him as the way? The way that we do things. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Coming home, Dad. Let's worship Him now. Let's receive that word deep into our hearts. Thank you, Lord. Don't be in a hurry. Let's worship the Lord. Hallelujah. I trust you believe God's spoken to you today. It's G. G, Dad.
Come in, oh. Come in, oh. Evermore to roam.
Just worship Him now. Opens His hands, would you open yours back to Him?
And Lord, I'm coming. Oh.
You feel His presence here with us? Come back to Him now with all your heart.
Come in, oh.
Right at Lord today.
Come in.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
And evermore,
Lord, have Your way. Grant it, Lord God. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord.
Open wide Thine arms of love, Lord, that I'm coming.
Enter in now. Enter into what you're singing. Say, Lord, this is my soul.
I'm coming.
Hallelujah. To the truth of the word.
Oh, come in.
With everything that's in me, Lord. Hallelujah. Yourself questioning God's way of doing things. beginning to let doubt and fear and compromise coming into your life. And you want to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I recognize my fault. I recognize that I've questioned you, Lord, when really I ought to just believe you. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sis. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. God sees it. You say, what's that hand mean? It shows there's something on the inside that raised that. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. You're not raising it to me. You're raising it to him. And say, Lord, you know what's in there. Now, when we seek God, remember what we said earlier, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. If you want to make God happy, you've got to believe him. That he doesn't want you destroyed. He doesn't want you in sin. He paid the largest price ever paid, so you didn't have to be like that. Don't be so proud about what you can receive his grace today. And say, Lord, I accept my pardon. And Lord, I need a revelation. I need a revelation of the truth to strike my soul to where the life of God can push that thing, whatever it might be, that thing that's not of you, and push it out of me. Surrender now. Don't be proud. Don't ever be arrogant towards God. You'll get nowhere. That's why we raise our hands. It's a surrender. You say, Lord, that this is me. But I'm doing it because I believe you, Lord. You're my only hope. Not just the truth, but Lord, your way is the only way that's ever going to help me. Say, well, if I was really going to hear from God, I'd have a clap of lightning coming in the service. Maybe. But you don't tell God how to do it. You accept it. And God will perform the surgery. He'll do the supernatural. He will deliver you. I'm a witness. Anytime I've been sincere enough to say, Lord, I don't want this in me anymore, God has taken it. You might not believe this, but I used to have a complex against a few people because I just didn't agree with things they were doing. God showed me getting mad and getting upset at them isn't helping you, and it ain't helping them. I had the word. Oh, yes, I did. I had the truth, but I needed the way. I needed to do it God's way. Which says, Lord, you love that man as much as you love me. And I'm not compromising, but Lord, help him. If I can be a help, I'll be there, Lord, but you need to help this man see the error of his ways. Hallelujah. And that's all you can do. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. You feel his presence. Now accept it. That's all it takes. Don't change God's way. That's all it is. It's faith. It's faith in the Word. Faith is a substance. If you can raise your hands enough to say, I know this is right, know that that's a root of faith in you. That's what did that. Believe that with all your heart, that substance is in me, Lord. And I can believe all this Word. I'm made to believe it all. I'm made to see the effects of it in my life. I'm made to not see the devil have overcoming power on me, but to know that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. If there's any soul that just wants to get right with God, hallelujah, God bless you. Thank the Lord. Anyone want to receive the Holy Ghost today that doesn't know for sure? Be sincere now. God knows what's in your heart. I'm not trying to take it away from you. Neither is Jesus. If he gave it to you, praise God. But if you don't know, there's a cloud somewhere of doubt. And God will take it from you. Hallelujah. If there's any that just want to commit yourself anew right here in the service, that say, Lord, by the revelation in my heart, I want to live for you every moment of every day. That I want to do what's right. That I want to be more faithful in just accepting the way you do things, Lord. That, Lord, you told me how to live. You told me that I should read my Bible and pray every day. That I should love my neighbor as myself. You told me what to do, Lord. Let me just yield myself. God bless you, saints. God, hear your prayers today. Hallelujah. Say, what now, brother? Confess it. Confess the word. Confess it with all that's in you. Don't even wait on a neighbor. Don't wait on a feeling. Say what God has put in your heart and let that thought become word. Let that inspiration, let it be manifested in your life. That it's the same as God saying it when you say it, by inspiration. God deliver you today in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank the Lord God. Thank the Lord God. Thank the Lord God. Even as a preacher, I've learned to accept God's way. God's perfect way is for you to receive it by your faith, solely on the Word of God. And you know what? That'll make sometimes a preacher feel like he ain't doing nothing. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Make a minister feel like, well, I guess they don't really need me. Hallelujah. But I've accepted God. That is the perfect way. I'm here to help. Don't get me wrong. I'll help. My whole heart is for you. I love you with all that Christ has put in me. I want you to be free. And if He uses me, praise God. But I know that we're at the hour where you've got to have it. You as the individual of God, have the true baptism of the Holy Ghost. That wherever you go, He is. Thomas asked, Lord, how can we follow you? We don't know the way. He said, you've already known the way. I'm the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's sitting right there. Play the tape, sis. Hallelujah. It's right there, brother. Read the book. Right there's your couch. Get down and pray. Hallelujah. He's not any further than that. He's right there in your heart. When you're on the job, lift your voice to Him and say, Jesus, help me today. Don't reject His voice. He might be telling you to do the simplest thing in life. He might even reveal it to me, but I'm hoping you'll just take it. I don't want to embarrass anybody. It could be the simplest thing in life. He's trying to get you to recognize that because you keep making that decision, you reap for it every day. Amen. Come on now, surrender it. Don't hold on to it. Don't. Please. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. As the altar call, that's what this is. We don't need a formal altar. This is what it's about. Hearts getting right with God. Hallelujah. Does anybody like to come forward for prayer? Would you come now? Keep the atmosphere just right. Don't get distracted. Say, Lord, if He's working on you, let Him work on you. God bless these gallant souls. Is there any more? Hallelujah. Stay in that worship. Thank you, Lord. Say, coming home, Lord. Where's my home? The Word. I'm just going to stay right in it, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Be praying now. Thank you, Lord. Pray for these souls that's come forward. Say, Lord, I don't know what the request is, but I believe it'll be a good one. It'll be gallant. It'll be for your glory, Lord. And I pray you answer those requests. So we're going to confess it with them. Hallelujah. Say, Brother Andrew, what are you waiting on? Atmosphere to be right. Amen. I believe He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't believe in presuming. I don't believe in venturing without authority. Don't disrespect His presence now. Thank you, Lord. Recognize that you are in God's presence. That He deserves all our respects. He deserves all of our honor. He's our Lord and Savior, but He's still the King. He's still the ruler of heaven. Lord, we love you today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let me go to each one.
Faith, I agree with Him, Lord. We enter in faith now, in that name above every name, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. We'll praise God. sister comes with her stomach hurting her, lay hands on her, Lord, that you heal whatever is hurting her belly. Make it well, Lord. There's something causing it. Lord, may you give revelation, Lord, to keep her from all the evils of the devil. Thank you for her little soul seeking you. I agree with her now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Overcomer. Thank the Lord. He's not presuming, that's Him. Glory to God. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Give it to Him. Thank the Lord. Even if it's just thank you, Lord, I believe He'd like to hear that today. Jesus, praise your name, Lord. You're so good to me, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You might not know the verses, but I like to sing in the garden. It's a little G. I come to the garden alone. The dew is still on roses, and the voice I
you'll see in truth. You answer his prayers with prayer. Jesus, bless them.
The Lord. That's why we came today, was to lift up His name and to thank Him for what He's done for us. Thank Him for what He did do, even right here in the service. Thank God for His faithfulness. No, stay on G, Dad. Just stay right there. Thank the Lord. There is a river. It's from deep. Oh, there. aren't you happy? Thank the Lord. That frees the soul from it's going through. Let all the clogs go. Thank the Lord. And come to these waters, for there is, yes, Lord, a vast supply. Oh, come there. Flowing in our souls. Oh, praise His holy name. Worship Him in the Spirit now. Oh, there is a river. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. That flows from deep. Hallelujah. Within. Take a moment and worship Him our own way. Praise Your holy name today, Lord. Praise You, Lord Jesus. Thank You for Your word this afternoon. Thank You for speaking to me, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We worship You. Praise You, Lord Jesus. Lift up Your name. Glory to God in the highest. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank the Lord. Lord, have You heard from heaven today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't never let the devil take it away from you. Say, Lord, that's mine, and I thank You for it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we got baptismal service today. Praise the Lord. I'm so happy. I know some of y'all are probably happier than me. I don't want to argue with you, but it's a glorious day. So I'm going to let our brother, if he wants to prepare himself or whatever. We got towels or something. We got a room in there. Okay, that's fine. However we want to do it. But I want to sing a song as we'll dismiss on this as we get ready for baptismal. I want, Lord, fill my way every day with love. So we talked about God's way. Well, Lord, make my way Your way. So it might be F, actually. But we'll dismiss on this and worship the Lord as we go for baptismal day. God bless you. With love.